always fun when I get up here and I turn around and I go, well, who's here? Because I don't see anybody. I have to figure out, oh, good to see you. Anyway, that lesson is for us too. In fact, that's really most of our introduction there because I couldn't come up with a really good introduction to this sermon. So the children's message tells us what we need to know. We're going to be talking about change in life. You know, life is, well, we're going to talk about these things. We'll get to them in a minute. But, you know, life is transition. Life is change. Every day there's something new. Every day there's something different. We tend to think sometimes, oh, we're going to reach this point in our life where we just step back. Oh, we'll be empty nesters. The kids will be gone. We can relax. Or we can do this and we can do that. That, you know, there'll be some, we fool ourselves into thinking that, you know, there'll be a long time of stability. Maybe there is for Sundays, but we're always changing. Life is always about transition. The next thing coming on, the transition with us, we'll talk about in our bodies and everything else. But we think we'll be stable, that things will just reach a point and everything will just be the same. But what life tells us is that just doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen. We need to know how to rely on the Lord and trust in the Lord for that. You know, life changes. So, you know, we're kind of like this mobile. This is what kids mobile, but we're all connected to one each other, but we're separate. We all impact each other, and we're always changing. We're always moving. That mobile that maybe you put above your child's crib, it's always changing. It's always moving, and that's what we do. We move through in our lives. We move through seasons in life. We move through seasons in life, and they're real. They're real, these different seasons in life, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. There's a time for everything. And the Bible addresses these different seasons. We move from being children, youth, to men and women who are maybe young marrieds or singles, and then there's old age. And each of these areas, each of these seasons in our lives carries with it different opportunities and different challenges for us. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And as I go through all these different ones, I'm really challenging you to think. I'm really challenging you to think about where you are in life. What are you doing right now? Where's God in all this? I want you to think about that. I'm not going to give you a whole lot of guidance. Well, I will give you some guidance, but I don't know how to phrase that. But I want you to think about it. Where you are in life and how you're reacting to that. And we're going to look at, in these areas, the dangers in each area, the guidance that we have from the Lord, and the opportunities that exist in each. So each season in life has different gifts and burdens and temptations and calling. What's wisdom? Wisdom is knowing how to live in each of these seasons. Wisdom is knowing how to live in each of these seasons. So again, a brief sketch in each of these areas. We could have one sermon on all of them. Well, let's look first. Young adulthood. Young adulthood. You know, in Scripture, your late teens into your 20s, really until you're about 33, you were considered still a youth or a young adult in biblical times. But for us, what's youth? Teenage years into the 20s, however you want to calculate that. But there are dangers there. It's a dangerous time. You know, you're mostly on your own. You're mostly on your own now. Perhaps your parents, you know, you kind of moved out of the house or you're going to uni or you're doing different things. So your world of temptations just got bigger in that. There are much more moral moral temptations. You hang out with different people. You're hanging out with different people. It can be lonely. You can kind of get lost at this point in your life. What am I doing while I'm here? What's going? I'm in a transition time. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, what I'm going to study and all that. You can get a little lost. But what do we need for guidance in that? Well, we need to focus during that time on good relationships. On good relationships. When you're in that stage of your life where you're moving away from your parents, they've held all the rope, you know, and as a parent, what do? We feed it out to our children, and we let them take it, and they take on their own lives. They begin to take all the authority for themselves. If we pull too tight, it'll snap. If we just let them go, they'll fall down. So, but you're at that point where you're becoming your own authority. And one of the most important things is, who do you surround yourself with during this time? Who's around you? You got people that are encouraging you, or people that are dragging you away, taking you in the wrong directions? We focus on good friends. 1 Corinthians says, Be not deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Be not deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. That's the power of influence. That's the power of influence. So if we have good people around us, we'll be positively influenced. Bad people, or not the other way. You need to begin to think wisely at this point in your life. Begin to think about, what am I doing and why am I doing it? To be wise in the things that you're doing. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, says Proverbs, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whoever walks with the wise will become wise. So we need to learn at this point in our life to seek the Lord in making choices, whether it's in relationships, making moral choices. Many bad decisions in life that stay with people happen, what, during this time in their life of young adulthood. So make good decisions. Work on living righteously in all your morals in every way. Concentrate, I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to live for the Lord. There was a girl named Ruthie in our youth group. She was 22 years old, college student. And she just decided, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to live righteous. And interestingly enough, if you went on a date with her, she would tell you this at the first of the date. Hey, we're going to go out and have a good time. And I want to have a good time. But you know all that kissing stuff and all this sexual stuff? It ain't going to happen. So if you still want to go out with me, that's great. Let's go. But I just want you to know, it ain't going to happen. What do you think? She made, her stand. She decided, I'm going to live for the Lord. At this point in life, begin to think maturely. Corinthians again says, when I was a child, I talked as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Begin to think. Think about what you're doing. Think about what your parents made all your decisions for years. Now they're kind of letting you do it. So think about those decisions. Think about what they mean, how you're going to live. If you've got a job, go to work. Learn to work. Learn to work hard. Work is work. Use this time to figure out what you like to do. What do I really like to do? Do I like accounting? Do I like cutting down trees? What am I going to do? Use this time to figure out what you like to do. Be involved in ministry. You've got a lot of freedom. Be involved in this church and other churches. A lot of you already are in uni in different places, and that's great. But you've got the freedom to do that. And also develop spiritual habits during this time. It can be frustrating. It's a frustrating time in your life, too. There's not a lot of direction. You may have to go it alone. There may be no one around you who's living for Christ. You may have to go it alone and say, if nobody else lives for Jesus, I am. I'm going to follow him. Seek God's approval, not everyone else's. That's easier said than done. Let's admit it, because we all have some people pleasing in us. We all like to be liked. But you need to make a decision to follow the Lord. Live like you really believe in God. Live like you really believe in God. Paul made this statement, I'll paraphrase, if there is no God, if there is no resurrection, then let's just have a big party. Let's just have a big party. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But if there is a God, that's a decision you make as a young adult, and we do. If there is a God, then what? We live in fear of him. We live in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We live in light of him, that he is there. He goes on, Ecclesiastes says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. Go for it at this point in your life. Dedicate yourself to school, your career, and all that, wherever you're going. Go for it. God's giving you this great world to live in. Go for it. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And remember this, you were created for a purpose. I'm speaking to everyone here. But sometimes as young singles, young adult, we can think, just kind of aimless. I'm wondering, does God really have a purpose for me? Well, He does. He does. God will give you direction. He created you for His purpose, to glorify Him. It may be marriage, it may not be. But don't wait. You know, don't wait. Just sit around and go, I wonder what God wants me to do. Begin to live for Him now. Now's a great time to really grow in your walk with the Lord and to do ministry. So focus on what you can do, not on what you're not doing. Focus on what you can do. And don't think about, oh, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. Focus what you can do. Don't drift along. Don't just drift along in your life and let things happen to you. Take charge. Take charge of your life as a young person. Well, how about young marrieds? Young marriage with and without children. We talked about this a little last week about how difficult it is if you're married and you can't have children. Don't have children. It's tough and hard. But God has given you a family, a church family you can put your life into. But the dangers of being of young marriage, and think back. If when you were young marriage and you had kids and you had a job and you had two jobs, you had all this stuff, the dangers are it's tiring. It's exhausting to be a young married. There's the sameness. We're kind of doing the same thing over and over again every day. And sometimes in your marriage, you can say, where'd the fun and romance go? Where'd all that go? We're changing diapers at 3 in the morning and 4 in the morning and 5 in the morning. We're doing all this stuff. Where'd all that go? Where'd all that fun go? You know, where's our money going? And all that. It can be a tough time in your life as being a young married, with or without children. Because, you know, it's a season of figuring each other out. Newlyweds go through that. 45-year-old years of marriage go through that. We're still figuring things out as young marriage about each other and how we're going to live. It's tough in marriage to learn to die to yourself, as Paul Tripp's been telling us in Sunday school. You need to come to Sunday school. It's tough to learn to die to yourself. you know, if your kids, again, it's exhausting. It's a season, really, of putting your head down and being a parent. It's a tough season, but it's a season of doing what? When your kids are young, you just do what you have to do every day. Get through it. You're a parent. You have to do it. You go to work and you take care of your children and you fix meals and you do all that. And children take a lot of time and money. That's when you realize, you know, my single life is really gone now. It's really completely gone. It can be a hard time. Be realistic. Be realistic about the way your life is right now. This is where we are. You know, we're either young marriage, getting to know each other. We're still figuring things out. We've got kids. We're working hard. We're doing all this. That's the way life is right now. It'll have some great ups. It'll have some downs too. But be realistic about where you are. You know, you'll survive. Look around. A lot of people in this room, y'all had small children. They're both working, they had jobs, and look, they're still alive. They're still here, and they're still together. You'll survive. Let the church family help you. Let the church family help you in your work. That's what we're here for. That's what you're here for. What's your opportunity? Well, you get to be a parent. You have children. You get to be a parent. You get to shape the life of a child. You get to shape the future. You get to be a parent. You're shaping lives. You're learning how to grow and to love them. Learning how to work together as a couple. Again, you're building your marriage. One of the best things about this time in life is to put yourself around other couples who are doing the same thing and let them help you, let them encourage you. You know, when someone says, I wanted to pick my child up and throw him out the window, and they say, oh, I did too. You know, I just felt that way last week. It can be a hard time, but we need each other. We need encouragement in our life, during that season of our life. Well, how about being single? How about being singles? It's just difficult. It's just difficult. I wasn't single for much of my life, so I can't talk about that firsthand, but I will point out how the church has really done a bad job of teaching on singleness, but there are dangers in singleness. There's, you can be bitter. You can make an idol out of marriage. If I were only married, I'd be happy. Maybe you would, but you can make an idol out of that. Your self-image can take a beating. What's wrong with me? What's going on with that? You can struggle with God's providence in your life. You can doubt God's love. You can become lazy as a single person. And you can feel, and you will feel, lonely from time to time. But remember, let's a few things of guidance on this. Singleness does not mean incompleteness. Singleness does not mean incompleteness. Again, we seem to have taught, and people can think, well, if I could get married and have children, I would be a whole person. I would really feel complete. Well, that's wrong. That's wrong. Not, you know, you can feel incomplete, but that means you're making an idol out of marriage. Or you can, you know, you can rebel against marriage at this time and stage in a person's life. They can say, well, I don't want to get married. I'm not going to be married. But what I need to do, I need to have a professional career and get all that stuff together, and then I can get married. Well, that's out of balance also. So we got to balance on either way. We can think, oh, I'm just a single because I'm waiting for real life to begin. One day it'll begin. No, you're going to live life now. Again, we've taught in the church, I think, some misteachings that marriage is not a superior state. Let me repeat that. Marriage is not a superior state. Marriage is great. Marriage is wonderful. But it's not a superior state to singleness. There's something, as if there's something wrong with being single. That's the way we teach it sometimes. Singleness is a time to, Jesus was single. Jesus was single. The Apostle Paul was single. I know there's some argument on that, but I think he was. I think he would have mentioned it if he wasn't. The Apostle Paul was single. There's speculation. He never says he was married. I think he would have. But singleness is not just, it's not plan B. It's not plan B for your life. Paul says that singleness is good. He calls it a gift. Interesting gift, but he calls it a gift. He said that it's good. I wish that you were all as I am. But each of you has his own gift from God. Each of you has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now the unmarried and widows, I say, it's good for them to stay unmarried as I do. He didn't complain about it. He didn't complain about it. It was a gift for him. Singleness allowed him to do ministry. He even goes on to say that in singleness, you avoid the worldly troubles of marriage. You avoid the worldly troubles of marriage. Marriage is tough. Marriage is hard. But you can avoid some of those if you're single. So my point is, he's not saying singleness is bad. He's saying it can be good. It can be a good thing. What does marriage points to? Our real marriage of God in heaven. Marriage points to our real marriage in heaven. It points to that, our marriage with God. But it's not an end to itself. It's not an end to itself. We need to learn to live and rest our lives in Christ. And not just look for, oh, one day I'll have everything when I get married. Because marriage is not an end to itself. It points to something else. You don't have to be married to be fulfilled. You don't have to be married to be fulfilled. So for even of us who are married, we need to make sure we don't make an idol out of our own marriage. That we hold it up so bad it's my all in all. No, it's pointing to something else. The main thing is my relationship with the Lord. The main thing is our relationship with the Lord. So there are opportunities when you're single to minister in the church, to minister in the lives of others. You're free to do what you want, in a sense. You're free to go to where the Lord is leading you. And you also have a church family. You also have a church family. And don't forget If you're single, you were created for a purpose too. To glorify God wherever you are. God didn't make a mistake. God didn't make a mistake if you're single. Well, move on. Middle age. What about middle age? This can be the most dangerous time of all the seasons. We can begin to coast spiritually. Oh, I've done really good. I've got it together. I've raised my kids pretty good. Everything's fine. We can coast. You can lose vision for spirituality and ministry. Again, there's no I don't need to continue to work on my spiritual life. Scripture says we're to do what? Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. During this time, I think we need to be particularly careful as men and women in those middle years that we guard our heart, that we protect our heart. Most men and women fall into sin, fall into bad sin, destroy their lives in those middle years. So we need to be careful. Our career can become an idol. Maybe it's all we do. It needs to become routine in these years. I heard a gentleman say one time, and he just worked all the time. He just worked. He worked at a plant. And he just got up every day, and he went to work, and he was always working extra shifts, and he was always doing everything. He was rarely at home. And as a pastor in the church, I mentioned it to him one time about that. And he said, well, you know, for some people, for some men, life is work. Life is work. That's what I am. My life is to work. I thought it very sad, very tragic. He had a very understanding wife. Midlife crisis are real. Midlife crisis are real in a person's life. You're trying to get satisfaction, fulfillment out of things of this world. Maybe your life just hasn't really worked out to your plan. Someone else, the Lord's writing the story, and you don't like it. You don't like the way it's going, and you try to figure it out. But we become self-aware of ourselves sometimes in those mid years. Oh, I haven't really done anything with my life, or my life's not going anywhere. You begin to think about that. I'm not happy with where I am. Why am I like that? What's going on? Begin to think of it, begin to analyze too much, and begin to be dissatisfied with life. Paul Tripp gives some warnings to us, things to be careful of and at this point in our life. Disorientation. Who am I and what am I doing? I really mean anything? Is my life mean anything? What am I doing with myself? We can become discouraged about the future. We can lose hope because maybe you're not what you thought you would be by this time or where you thought you would be. By this time, there's dread. Oh, I'm getting older. I'm getting older in my life. Wow. There's disappointment, regret for things that we've done. There can be disinterest during this midlife time, just no motivation, no real enjoyment with life. Distance, we can withdraw from friends during this time. We can become distracted. We want to feed the outer man, distract ourselves, get that red sports car. You know, get that red sports car. One of the biggest ways not to have a midlife crisis is not to make a whole lot of money. You can't do that unless you have a lot of money. No red sports car. What's really wrong? What's really going on? Our heart. It's our heart. Are we satisfied with God? Or are we making our job? Are we making our career? Are we making the way we feel into an idol in our lives? What's the guidance for this? Well, God has given us His precious and very great promises. He says, He has given us His precious and very great promises so that through them you may become partakers of divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Those sinful desires draw us in. They try to draw our heart, and that's the root of that. We need to protect our heart. Again, it's not the things, it's not the circumstance, it's not that you didn't get that raise, it's not that you didn't get that next job, it's our heart. So if you're feeling that way, take a deep dive. Why am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling this way in my life? What's going on in my heart? I should be mature. Mature by this time. Paul critiques in Hebrews believers who, by this time in their life, that they should be mature, but they aren't. but this is very much a middle age warning that we should be maturing in our faith, our middle ages, and move from thinking about success to what significance and importance in ministry. What about old age? Old age. If you live long enough, you'll get old. If you live long enough, you'll get old. The good thing about old age is it doesn't last very long. There's a whole series of jokes, so I'm not going to go through them. But one of my points will be that you got to have some humor if you get old. And so I'll share that with you since I have these wisdom highlights in my hair. They're called when you get older. Ecclesiastes gives a summary. Allie read it. When we're older, nothing works well anymore. We're falling apart. We live in a fallen world. Sin has devastated, and it devastates our bodies. Our bodies are falling apart. It's no fun to grow old. It's no fun to grow old. We'll see that there's significance in it too, but it's just not a pretty picture. Ecclesiastes, the other book of wisdom, you know, there's loss of desire for life. There's gloom. Sometimes there's depression. Our eyesight fades. Our teeth don't work that well anymore. Our legs don't have the strength they have. That's all in those passages that were read. Our teeth give out. We wake up early. You know, I've always woken up early, but now I'm older, I wake up even early. Old people, you ever notice that old people just wake up early? Always up, early in the morning, walking around. What we do? There's fear of heights. There's fear of falling. Again, I've never been afraid of heights, and I would always just run up a ladder and do stuff. I was the guy that went to the top of the gymnasium and changed light bulbs, and I was never afraid to go up there now. And now I'm like, no, not going to, you know, I make sure the little step stool's straight, and, you know, I'm not going to jump from here. Just not going to do it because I'm old. But there's a fear of falling. There's a reality also that life isn't going to go on forever. Life's ending. Life's ending. I hope, reality that, I hope I have 10 more years of pretty good ministry time in my life. And then you know what? Probably going to, I don't know, going to change. Things in my life will change. There's a reality that you face when you're older that life doesn't go on forever. Look at that in a minute. So it's not a pretty picture. Old age, how old age is viewed varies from culture to culture. There can be respect. Some of you come from cultures where there's respect for older people, where you, in your culture, you take care of your older family members. It's your duty, and it's your joy. It's your obligation. I remember asking someone in this church, they're not here today, but I said, now, your mother moved in with you for a year into your apartment, and that must have been hard. And he said, oh, no, it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure. I wanted to do it. So in some cultures, older age is treated with respect. However, in the West, you know, we have the youthification of culture, and there that the elderly are not seen as valuable. So there's a danger. There's a danger for old people. You can feel like you're a failure. You can feel like you're a burden to others. You're a failure, a burden. There's loneliness. There's fear. You're not able to control things as much anymore. You're not in control. There's a loss of independence. A loss of independence. So to her dying day, TC's mom lived to be 93, 4, 98. But possibly with her last breath, she was mad at her older son, John, for taking the car keys away from her, which had happened like 10 years before. She was always like, John took my car keys away whenever you go visit. Yeah, I can't go. John took the car keys. It was time to take the car keys. But John, for the moment, she lost her independence. Why was that so important? She couldn't get in the car and go anywhere like she wanted to. She had to depend on other people. Again, not to control things. The world gets smaller. You're able to go and do everything, but now that you're older, the world gets smaller. Perhaps a loss of meaning. There could be bitterness towards God and others. So some guidance that Paul Tripp gives us, Paul Smith wrote this way back. When you get affected, you're older, there are going to be infirmities and afflictions, which may increase. That's life, the way it is. Doesn't make it any easier. It's still hard. It's still tough, but they're there. Avoid being dissatisfied and fretful in fear. Maybe spend more time in prayer, trusting the Lord. My grandmother lived in her Bible when she was older. She lived in it. It gave her strength. Cultivate patience and cheerfulness, benevolence for others. Cultivate a sweet spirit towards other people. Enjoy being around them. Take advantage of any increasing opportunities for reflection and prayer. Cherish submission to the will of God. Understand that He is with you. He is looking after you. Encourage young Christians. Take this time to encourage young Christians. And still aim to glorify God in every way, including death. Even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is still being renewed day by day. That doesn't stop. That doesn't stop. God is still renewing you. Those opportunities to pass on your wisdom to others. There's also opportunities for younger people to minister to older people. I have a friend, she majored in geriatric psychology or something like that. She just loves being around older people. We as a church need to make sure we're not leaving people out. It's an opportunity to minister to older people. Some of you, Tim Works, how much it means just to sit down to talk with an older person. There's opportunities for us to minister to more and more people. And even as we get older, we minister. I knew a lady named Toni McVeigh, and she taught a Bible study till she was 98 years old in the nursing home. My uncle Guy, called him Uncle Guy. I think he was uncle. He was a cousin. Anyway, he drove everyone in the retirement home crazy because every day he was going down the hall talking to people, sticking in. How you doing? What's going on today? I know he'd drive them nuts, but he wasn't going to sit around and not do anything. He was going to minister to other people. Again, we have an opportunity to do that. So we need to continue to flourish, continue in the faith, continue to grow. Interesting that Psalm 92 says that even as older people, the godly will flourish like palm trees, grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. It will remain vital and green. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in Him. Even when we're older, we can still flourish and grow in the Lord. We minister as we can. Again, we're hit with the reality of the shortness of life. Heaven's a little closer. Paul said it. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is by far much better. By far much better. You ever think about this? God saves the best for last. Think about that for a moment. God saves the best for last. When we leave this world, our last breath, whatever, what happens? We're immediately in the presence of God, and the best is going to happen to us at the end of our life, the very end of our life. Again, don't stop learning new things. Learn to love Christ. Remember that God doesn't forsake us. Have faith. Trust in Him. Again, I don't think you can approach old age without a sense of humor, without something about it tough and hard. Tisha and I have a joke that her eyes are not the greatest. My legs, my hips are not the greatest. That one day I'll be in the wheelchair pushing around saying, turn left. Turn right, turn left, turn right. How are we going to approach it? We'll have to approach it with a sense of humor. Well, again, our key verse of this whole thing is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and of wisdom. You need to understand that. And no season of life is easy. No season of life is easy. All of them wrestle. We wrestle with the Lord as to our meaning and purpose and mission. But all of them come to the same place. Whether you're young, whether you're old, you're called to do what? Have faith and trust the Lord. Have faith and trust in the Lord to find our mission and purpose, no matter what your age is, no matter what our age. Again, do we believe Romans 8? Do we believe Romans 8? That God is actually in control. God has predestined you. God has chosen you. God has set out everything in your life. That all things work for the good. Doesn't mean that all things are good, but keep reading the verse. God works all things that we might become more like Jesus. All things are good because they make us more like Jesus. But do we believe God is in control? And do we believe that God loves you? In the midst of whatever you're going through, in the midst of whatever season of life, you believe that God loves you and nothing can separate you from that love. Really believe. Some of you are struggling right now. Some of you are in some tough times. But do you believe that God loves me? That? And that he's with me and that he will guide me through it? Do you believe that you can trust and rely on him? Can really trust and believe and rely on him wherever you are. The psalmist said, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Never seen the righteous forsaken. Do we believe that? God's going to take care of us. God's going to look after us in whatever situation we're in. So we need to, again, I challenge you, wherever you are in your life, what's your perspective on God? Who is he? Where is he? What are you doing right now? Let's pray. Father, there are no guarantees in this life, but there is a guarantee that you are here with us. Lord, that you guide us, that you strengthen us. Lord, help us. In this room is all the seasons of life represented here, but all of them have one thing in common. Will we trust you? Will we have faith? Will we live for you wherever we are? Lord, thank you for that confidence. Thank you for that assurance that you will guide, you will strengthen, you will give us what we need each day. You will give us what we need today. Teach us to trust in you in all these things. In Christ's name, amen.